Sunday. We didn't quite make it. In chapter 14, verses 1 through 23, we saw faith in God brings victory. And then B, in chapter 14, verses 24 through 52, we saw foolish words bring trouble. And then we began looking at C, failure to obey completely brings God's judgment. And that's all of chapter 15. We saw number one, Saul's disobedience, verses 1 through 11. Number two, Saul's deception, verses 12 through 15. Number three, Saul's disagreement, verses 16 through 23. And then this morning, number four, we'll finish this chapter up, Saul's dismissal, verses 24 through 35. So, George, if you would read letter A underneath that, Saul's dismissal by God, verses 24 through 29. So you read 24 to 29. And then B, Saul's dismissal by Samuel, verses 30 through 35. Who wants to read those? All right, Scotty. All right, go ahead, George, 24 through 29.
And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent.
Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring me hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel.
All right, thank both of you. Saul's dismissal, first of all, by God. In verse number 24, Saul starts out saying, I have sinned. But I have a sneaking suspicion that was an insincere repentance. What do you think? Judging from the character of Saul, the fact that he made all kinds of excuses, the people did this, the people did that, he played the blame game. And then all of a sudden, he's brought eyeball to eyeball with the Lord, as Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. He was partially obedient, and when you're partially obedient, you are totally disobedient in the eyes of God. So he did say he sinned. I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. And I wrote a little statement next to obeyed their voice. I said, since when? Question mark. He was sort of a dictator. He called the shots. He didn't listen to the people. But again, he's blaming the people again. So then he said, hey, will you forgive my sin and turn with me? Now, why do you think that Saul wanted Samuel to turn with him, to stay with him? Do you think it was because he wanted the man of God near him? Why do you think? Exactly. He wanted to look good before the people. If Samuel would have ignored him, because Samuel already had enough of him, he was through with him. And so Samuel, no doubt, was not going to turn and be with Saul. And Saul knew that, and so he said, please turn again with me that I, now all of a sudden, it's the only time we find the word I. He always said, your God. Now suddenly the Lord is Saul's God, that I may worship the Lord. And then Samuel said, nope, not going to do it. Forget it. You rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king. Remember, he had already been rejected in the sense that his relatives, his family, the next in line would not be king. He lost the dynasty. Now he's losing his own kingship. Now he's no longer recognized as king. Now he's going to serve in the position for a pretty good period of time yet, because David had to be chosen, had to be anointed, and had to be trained. And so as of now, he's king, but he's lost his place in the eyes of God and in the eyes of Samuel. He said, no, I'm not gonna turn with you. So Samuel turned about to go away, and Saul laid a hold of the edge of Samuel's skirt, the skirt or the border of his mantle, his robe, and he tore it. That wasn't very nice. And Samuel used it as an illustration. He said, okay, well, the Lord has rent or torn the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Boy, that bit that hit the pride, didn't it? Oh, my goodness. I'll guarantee you. Verse 29, and also the strength of Israel, literally the eternal one, will not lie nor repent. Or literally, in a lot of translations, have it translated, have regret. For he is not a man that he should regret. So, as I mentioned last time, God certainly can change his mind. It doesn't make him no longer immutable or unchangeable, but he certainly, depending on what man does, can change his mind. He is God. He is the eternal one. Then he said, I've sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee. And this is the whole idea, is pride is still very active. It's all about him. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Now he said, thy God. So then Samuel went ahead and turned again after Saul and worshiped him, worshiped with him. All right, then remember Agag, the king of the Amalekites, had been spared. He wasn't supposed to be spared. He was supposed to be killed. Everything was supposed to be killed because of the wickedness of the Amalekites and how they treated Israel. And so Agag came to him delicately. That literally means he came in chains. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. He figured, man, I'm skating out of this one. This is the man of God right here, Samuel. He's not gonna do anything. I'm gonna get away with it. This is awesome. Man, I can't wait to get back home. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag. Love that KJV word there, hewed. You use that all the time, don't you, when you cut up a chunk of meat? I hewed that thing. Yeah, shoot him into pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. So the idea was, this wasn't Samuel taking vengeance. This was Samuel working in accord with the Lord. The Lord had desired that Agag be killed. So this was divine judgment. But unfortunately, Israel did not exterminate the Amalekites like they were supposed to. So later on, The Amalekites came back to form. They raided the south, took captive women and children, even David's family. We'll read about it when we get to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Samuel went home to Ramah. Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Never saw him again alive. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. It's what the people wanted. God wanted to teach them a lesson. He allowed him to be king. And of course, he failed miserably. And now God's man is going to become king. Any questions about chapter 15 before we get into 16? Any questions, comments, words of tremendous wisdom? Yes, sir?
The first verse of chapter 25 says Samuel dies before Saul dies.
Excuse me, say it again?
The first verse of chapter 25, in 1 Samuel, says that Samuel dies.
Okay. Let me see what chapter 30 says. So Saul died and his three sons are better than when the men of Israel on the other side. I have no idea why I have that, because I don't see anything about Samuel. I probably wrote it wrong because I'm old and decrepit, and I know it's hard to believe that I would ever make a mistake, but I've made a few.
Saul becomes Paul, correct?
No, that's the New Testament. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's the New Testament.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm not real familiar with this part of the scripture. It's good, though.
Well, you come to the right place to learn part of it. Some of it's not correct.
Well, it takes time.
Go ahead.
I think it confirms what Scott was saying is that Saul goes to a seer or whatever you want to call her to raise Samuel back up.
That's right. That's what it is.
Maybe it's talking about that.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. Thank you. Man, I'll pay you later. Bailing out the preacher. Yeah, he went to a seer and Samuel appeared, remember? I forgot about that. See, I've actually forgotten more than I know. But I try my best. Any other questions or comments? Not you, Scott. You be quiet. Anybody else? All right, in chapter 16, verse 1 through chapter 18, verse 9, we're going to look at David's rise to power. This is a unit. And when you think about how God raised up David, David was not, let's say Israel had an election. They would not have chosen David. There was a lot of good about David, as we'll see. And he wasn't a big, tall brute like Saul. So humanly speaking, he probably wouldn't have been chosen. Turned out he was a great warrior and there was a lot of positive about David. But oftentimes, things that are predicted, especially when God makes a prediction, it doesn't even seem possible. You know, God chose David, the least of the brothers. There were eight of them, eight brothers. He was the last one. And as we'll see, when Samuel called a sacrifice, the fellowship offering where they ate part of the sacrifice and they all kind of got together and had a potluck, David wasn't even invited. He's back home tending the sheep. The rest of his brothers were there. Check out this list of actual predictions that proved to be astonishingly, I can't talk today either. I can't think or talk. Listen to these. This is crazy. Drill for oil You mean drill into the ground to try and find oil? You're crazy. That was a statement made by drillers who Edwin Drake tried to enlist to his project to drill for oil in 1859. How did that work out? Have we done any drilling for oil? This is a good one. Stocks have reached what looks like a permanently high plateau. Irving Fisher, professor of economics, Yale University, in 1929. What happened in 1929? Yeah, well, it reached a permanently high plateau. That's what the expert professor at Yale said. I remember hearing this one. Everything that can be invented has been invented. Charles Duell, Commissioner, U.S. Office of Patents in 1899. He said, there's nothing else left to invent. Boy, that guy was a genius, wasn't he?
We have an app for that now.
Yes. Louis Pasteur's theory of germs is a ridiculous fiction. Pierre Pachette, professor of physiology at Toulouse in 1872. Louis Pasteur's theory of germs is ridiculous fiction. Thomas Watson, chairman of IBM in 1943, made this statement. Are you ready for this one? I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers. What do you think? How'd that work out? What do you think of that prediction? H.M. Warner of Warner Brothers in 1927, the year before my dad was born, said this: who wants to hear actors talk? Remember, they were called talkies before there was silent movie. You had to be a good actor to act in a silent movie. He said, who wants to hear actors talk? And that's true. I mean, I say amen to that. Especially when they talk politics. Who wants to hear an actor talk about politics? Because they're normally on the wrong side.
Reagan.
There you go. Yeah, I loved him.
He was a, me too, big fan.
He's a great man.
He said you can never be the president of the United States of America having never been an actor. I thought that was the greatest line ever. But yeah.
We don't like their sound. The guitar music is on the way out. Decca Recording Company rejecting the Beatles in 1962. Last one. Heavier than air flying machines are impossible. Lord Kelvin, President, Royal Society in 1895. Yeah. So let me ask you this question. What changes in your life would you never have predicted? Anybody? What changes that occurred in your life would you have never predicted? Anybody? Now's your chance. You can.
I know I'm the new guy, but I'd
you
to,
are a new
I'd
guy.
I'd have to make a list. my mind just goes. I'm 10 million things in my head. I never thought I'd be sitting in a Baptist church down here with y'all, but I'm glad I am. So.
Well, we're really, glad really you are too.
Appreciate you.
We appreciate you being here.
Amen.
You know the old saying, you know what I'd be if I wasn't Baptist?
Whoa.
Ashamed.
Oh, geez.
That's a joke. I pastored a Bible church as well, so. Yeah, that was a feeble attempt at humor. Anybody, what has happened in your life that you could have never predicted? Yes, my Becca.
I don't know if this is exactly what you're talking about, but I never thought I'd get married. I never had any desire to get married.
Because you were smart. And then all of a sudden you had a brain seizure or something.
It's not a tumor.
I never thought I'd meet anybody because I never had. So, I mean, I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but I
absolutely
never thought that that would happen.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Now I'm wondering why I did.
Anybody else?
Yeah, just kidding. Well, as a kid, I never thought I'd be in West Virginia. I thought I'd be in Washington State my whole life.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're from the same area. Yeah.
There you go. I, you know, of course, probably none of us thought we'd become born-again Christians. But beyond that, there's no way ever, ever, ever I would have predicted that I would be a pastor, ever. Never. My family, we were not church people. I went to church as a child. I was sent there. My parents didn't go. And I never, there's no way, that I thought it would ever happen. Anybody else? Especially pastoring in West Virginia. Did it, being born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, do you think that I ever thought, you know, one day I'm going to be a pastor of a church in a Baptist church. I was a Lutheran. A Baptist church in West Virginia.
That's crazy talk.
God is amazing, is he not? And it turns out that I'm going to die here in West Virginia. I love West Virginia. Whenever I read an article, people are leaving West Virginia, I said, good, that's more room for me. I mean, what's there not to love? The state has turned red. It's beautiful. Got everything you need. Live in Morgan County, one of the finest counties of the 55 in West Virginia. I mean, what more could you ask for? I can carry a gun. I mean, really? This is life
awesome.
Is good.
Yeah.
Life is good.
I walk around with a 357 reading scripture, like just out.
Where
back.
Else? I mean, there's.
Backyard, yep.
I love it.
It feels strange. I know. I don't mean to speak over you, but.
Hey,
I'm new.
This is Sunday school. You can do it. Now, the next hour, you have to listen.
Oh.
This hour, you can talk all you want. That's Sunday school. You can chime in all you want. You got free reign. All right, let's look at the 16th chapter. We'll get started in it. Looking at David's rise to power. God's hand was on David in several ways. Number one, or letter A, I should say, God chose David. Somebody tell me what the name David means. Anybody? Beloved of God. Beloved of God. Literally, it just means beloved. But we know he was beloved of God. David was a man after God's own heart. Was he a perfect man? Not even close. But he had a heart for God. Unlike Saul, the people's choice, David, God's choice, loved God. Number one under God chose David. Let's look first at his city. Verses 1 through 5. Who wants to read? 1 through 5. 16, 1 through 5. Anybody? Anybody? Going once, going twice.
I'll read.
Go ahead. 1 through 5, okay?
We're at chapter 16, Samuel 2, right?
1 Samuel, that's correct.
Okay. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold.
Wait a minute.
I'm in the wrong spot.
Are you in 2 Samuel?
Oh, I'm in 2. Oh.
Yeah. We'll get there eventually. Our goal is to get through that one, too.
I'm new. I'm trying. Samuel 16.
Chapter 16.
Number 1. There we go.
No problem. Don't worry about it.
I got it.
Now you know how I feel.
I can read, I promise.
Now you know how I feel.
And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Okay. For I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will shew thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint
unto him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I am to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when...
Wait a minute. Let's stop there. You're good.
Five. We're supposed to stop. Okay.
Thank you, John. All right. So his city, Bethlehem. What does Bethlehem mean? Pardon? Exactly. Well, actually, house of bread, but you're close. You were right there, brother. You were right there. Samuel left his home in Ramah to go to Bethlehem. Now, on the way from Ramah to Bethlehem was Gibeah of Saul. So he knew there was a good chance he would run into Saul, and Saul would say, Hey, Samuel, where are you going? And so he was filled with fear. God's new king would come from Bethlehem of Judah. And of course, out of his loins then would come Messiah. Micah 5:2, of course, talks about Bethlehem Ephratah. Ephratah was another name for the region of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a small town, but it was well known in Scripture. Jacob and his wife Rachel, remember Rachel was Jacob's favorite. They were almost to Bethlehem when she had her last son, Benjamin. She died in childbirth. Remember that? Bethlehem was well known to the people of Israel, though it was small. In verse number 2, Samuel knew Saul was not stable. Saul had a lot of issues. And so Samuel said, I don't know how Saul is going to react if he hears about what I'm doing. He's going to kill me. So the Lord said, take a heifer and just tell him you've come to sacrifice to the Lord. And so Samuel's first reaction, rather than saying, God has a wonderful plan, I can rest in God, I need not fear. God said he's going to raise up another king. If God says he's going to raise up another king, I should rejoice in that. And instead of rejoicing in that, his first reaction to the word of God here was to fear man. It's kind of a lesson for us, isn't it? Sometimes what God says seems difficult and may even seem dangerous, but if it's God's plan and God's will, we can rest in the hand of God. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. There will actually be three different times that David will be anointed. The first one will be to show God's recognition of David as king. Then there will be an anointing for Judah, and there will be an anointing for Israel. Another example of where Israel and Judah are split up before the actual dividing of the nation. So there is a separation there. And of course, David was from the tribe of Judah. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, came to Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled at his coming. You know why? Why do you think they were afraid when Samuel showed up? What did Samuel just get finished doing? He hewed up Agag. They said, uh-oh, there's that dude. Because remember, he was the last judge, too, and judges had the authority to do that. He wasn't just a prophet. He was a judge. And he was within his realm to go ahead and chop up Agag. Agag got exactly what God wanted him to get, because he was an evil, wicked, vile man. So they were afraid, and justifiably so. He said, no, I'm coming peaceably. I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, or set yourselves apart as holy. They had to go through the cleansing process, both their clothes and their bodies and their hearts, getting ready to worship. getting ready to take part in the fellowship offering. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and he called them to the sacrifice. So they were his invited guests to take part in the fellowship offering. And then we'll see how God chose. We're going to stop here, go over the prayer list together. Any words of wisdom? Lord willing, we'll come back next week, finish this chapter. It's a good one. This is, well, they're all good, but this. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. All right, continue to pray for our church. I've been pleased with the attendance, especially church time. I'd like to see, I've never pastored where there's such a gap between Sunday school attendance and church attendance. I'd like to see more folks avail themselves of Sunday school, but continue to pray for the church. Last week, we had some out last week and still had 41, which is much better than Sunday school is still down, but again, church time was awesome. So we thank the Lord for that. Pray that more will become a part of our assembly here. Pray for our nation. A lot going on. A lot of lies being spread. And just remember, when you hear stuff, a lot of it's not true, okay? So keep that in mind. Pray for Israel and Ukraine. Also pray for the situation in Iran. That's a very sticky situation in Iran. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, it's going to change all of the Middle East. There'll be nations scrambling to get nuclear weapons as well. There are already several that have them. Pray for law enforcement, first responders. Pray for those that are still recovering from the hurricanes last fall. Those that are recovering from the fires out in California and other places, Carolina. Floods, tornado victims. We had hurricane force winds come through last Sunday, or Saturday night, caught the southern end of it, a very short period of high winds. But on Sunday, Easter Sunday last week, I went down to Kelly's, and all the way down Route 9, you could see trees had been pulled off the road and were down all over. Hagerstown got hit very hard. I saw like three or four power poles where the shear came directly and knocked over like four in a row, and the wires were laying. You know how much force it takes to blow over a telephone pole? So there are a lot of people need our prayers. Pray for our missionaries that are preaching the Word of God. Pray for Bill, his kidneys and blood pressure. Blood pressure still doing all right? Pretty good. Continue to pray for Mark and Rhonda and Rhonda's mom. Got to talk to Darlene, Gary's sister, this week.
She said thank you for calling.
And she sounded so good. She said she had been to the grocery store, felt a little bit tired. She had to sit down and rest a little bit before she got them all in. She said, I can shop real good, but bringing them in.
But the Lord himself had called her.
Yeah, she was.
I thought, boy, little do you know.
Exactly. Come on. Love suffers long and is kind. Okay? Yeah. But she sounded great. Continue to pray for Ronnie, Kathy's niece, Regina. Barbara Puffenberger got good news last week from University of Virginia. Rebecca asked us to pray for her, and we sure will. On Wednesday, I have a graveside service in Hedgesville Cemetery for Frank that I mentioned last week or the week before. So pray for me if you would. It's 11 o'clock on Wednesday. National Day of Prayer, May the 1st in the park. If you're interested in that. I could make a comment about it, but I won't. You do what God wants you to do. That's what's important. Brian McClintock is sick. Pray for Brian and Savannah McClintock. Wisdom teeth surgery on Monday. How many is she going to get out?
I'm thinking two.
Two of them? Okay, pray for Savannah. How old is Savannah? Is she a child or an adult?
She's a young adult.
A young adult. Okay.
20, Fred? About 20. Somebody. Can you add two? I forgot.
No, I'm sorry.
Good job, Annabelle. You're around now. You're excellent.
You preach it, sister. I'll turn the pages. Go ahead.
Mark Hill and Clara Hill, they both have some really bad health issues. They have asked for prayers.
Mark and Clara. So Mark's been battling for a while with stuff, huh? Okay. All right, let's stand together and pray. Is Mark still working at the courthouse?
Last I heard.
Okay.
But I know with his health issues, I don't know if he's been there.
Okay. I have to stop and see if he's he's there.
He's been trying to take care of Claire, too, and it's hard with him having issues, too.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus, for the blood he shed upon the cross. Thank you for the day that you spoke to our hearts and you brought us to faith in him, repentance and faith. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that cannot say with absolute assurance that when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus, I pray today would be the day of salvation. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to work in our country. There's so many things that there's so much division and so much hatred and all these different protests that are sweeping our country. And there's so many things that seem backward. We pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will work in hearts and draw people to you. We pray for our leaders that you give them wisdom. They do the right thing and seek to follow your will. We pray, Lord, for our church. We thank you for what you've been doing. We pray that you touch more hearts and change more lives. Thank you for the visitors you've been bringing in. We pray you continue to bring visitors in. And Lord, I pray some would become a part of our local fellowship. We pray for those that have been suffering through various natural disasters. We know, Lord, you are in charge and control. So, Lord, please minister, draw many of these to you and provide their needs, Lord. We pray for those that are sick that we've called out to you. We pray for healing, if that would please you. We pray for Darlene this morning that you continue to give her good days. And pray, Lord, if it would glorify you that you'd heal her body. We know you can. And, Lord, she's been doing really good, and we thank you for that and praise you for that. We pray for Savannah. She has wisdom teeth surgery. We pray you'd guide the dentist's hands, that things would go well, and we pray you would heal Brian and Mark and Clara. We think of Mark and Rhonda's mom. Lord, minister there and heal as only you can. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. We can look back and see answered prayer after answered prayer, and we thank you for that. We pray you'd bless the coming hour. We pray you'd bless the meeting and the fellowship before we have the meeting. We pray, Lord, that you'd be pleased with all of it. And, Lord, may we be drawn near to you today through hearing your word. And, again, may you draw that lost sinner to the Savior today. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 12 minutes before we start the next hour.